podcast number five.
Banging it.
You know, just rocking them out. Just trying to knock them out. The people want to hear things. And I like to talk to people, awesome people, especially. I got my man Chris here. Chris is a former SEAL.
Yeah.
I met him. I did not meet him and I did not work with him in the military. I met him through CrossFit. He's worked alongside a CrossFit working at the games, helping out. I don't know your exact title. I just always knew. Yeah. Everyone just, Dave used to be like, that's Chris. Chris was a SEAL too. He did crazy shit. And I was like, okay. Everyone's like, Chris was like, the way I've always like told about you was like, oh, he did like crazy shit. And I was like, okay. All right. I like it.
Military title.
Chris, yeah, you know. Yeah. Awesome, Chris. Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being on. Thank you for the time, man. And so tell the people a little bit about yourself, I guess. Give them some background.
Yeah. So Chris Smith, Virgo, born today. Just turned 54 today, man.
It's your birthday. Happy birthday.
I'm playing with you, Josh, baby.
Yeah, I love it. I should have had a birthday fucking cake for you, man. I apologize. You know, we'll sing happy birthday at the end.
All right, cool. So I live in Alexandria, Virginia. Like Josh said, former SEAL, been on seminar staff for CrossFit, worked CrossFit Games, regional director for that. Own a CrossFit gym, actually. My wife known coffee shops, and I have two other companies that I'm either COO or CEO of, and serial entrepreneur, and only have one reason to be on this planet, which took me like 53 years to figure out, and that is to make deep and meaningful relationships with positive impact. That's it.
Man.
Everything else is supporting that, man. Like everything else is just supporting that. No joke.
That's really cool. And you know what? Like I'm 37 and it's definitely, I'm starting to realize the exact same thing as what you just said, right? Like just being around awesome people and amazing people who are out there and want to inspire, whether it's on a big platform or in a small network, but just being around good people who want to do great things. It's been something that I've always felt like I like to be around people who inspired me, obviously, that, you know, was something I always liked, but yeah. Hold on. Hey, she's got to make sure the mailman doesn't, you know, break in the house.
You're inspiring her.
Right? But I completely agree with you, and I think that's awesome to hear, you know, like, it takes a lot of people a lot of times where sometimes you just want to fit in and you just want to be a part of something, whether it's whatever it is, but really finding out that you want to be around good people that are inspiring has been awesome. And like getting to know you over the past year, being around, you know, being a little bit around more Tosh, I've just, you know, I love it. Your wife was awesome. I love talking with her. She's a talkative person, which is great because,
yeah, right.
You know, it's like, she likes coffee and she owns a coffee company and she knows so much about coffee. And that's like such a big thing for me. So,
Do you find yourself kind of a double-edged sword? Do you find yourself seeking out good inspirational people to be around? Or do you find that more people are seeking you out to be inspired?
Ooh, I think it's a little bit of both. I think that's I don't know if I'm like specifically seeking out people, but I like to, when I do get to know people, figuring out whether this person is someone that I want to spend a lot of time with, or if this person is just going to be an acquaintance, you know, and here and there, maybe we'll have interactions. Right. But, when you find out that they're really good people is when, you know, you tend to start gravitating towards them and bringing them closer into your circle.
Yeah. So. Like you said earlier, it's like, sometimes we always think that we want to inspire billions of people or millions of people across, you know, laterally. And I've come to the realization, man, that my purpose on this planet is to drive deep and meaningful relationships, drive deep roots and make real connections that develop happiness and calm and stress-free people. And from there, hopefully those roots will resurface and grow better human beings and get to spread the word around, you know?
Dude, so, right. That's so cool. Yeah, I agree with you completely. That's exactly. It doesn't have to be a big thing, right? Because you don't know what the people that you're touching are going to do. Right. You don't know where they're going to go with it. But like, as long as you're making an impact somewhere on one person, that impact could affect however many people, because you don't know. You don't know who, how many people they're going to touch. So it is, it's cool. I think that's awesome. And I agree. I like, as I'm getting older, and I don't know if I'd say wiser. I don't know if I'd say wiser, but definitely older. I'm just starting to realize that as well. So it's really cool to hear.
Yeah. So being more aware of yourself and what you have an impact on people, just your voice. You've got a huge following, man. Like, it's incredible, dude. For what you're doing. No joke, you know?
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. It's been really fun. It's been exciting for me. It's something I never thought that was anything that I'd ever want to do, right? Like, go out and inspire. I love sports. I love being competitive, and CrossFit. That was a thing for me. Like, people who want to hate on CrossFit or bash on CrossFit and do all this thing, it's like, what CrossFit has done for the world,
boy,
is such an incredible thing, right? And it's been incredible to watch the journey. I've been there. So like, I started doing CrossFit in January 2005. So I've been around for a long time in the CrossFit world, and watching it and where it's come from and where, what it's doing now for people's lives, and not only health, but like businesses, it's growing, you know, just everything. It's impregnated the world. Right. And so it's been an incredible journey. It's been something that, you know, it's brought us together. Right.
Absolutely. We have our teams, right?
Right. Like, we have our SEAL background, but CrossFit is actually what made us meet, you know? So it's really cool.
Too, is like that, that word is so ubiquitous as for exercise, but don't forget the major impact it's had on just relationships. The major impact it's had on people from all demographics, all types of people come in, and you get a chance to spend 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour with them. And like you said, man, we're planting roots and it's just spreading like wildfire. So can't give enough kudos to the guys that are 100% supporting what we do and how we want to impact people. You know, other platforms do that as well, but this is one platform that I like. Like I said, we're talking about mental toughness today, and that's another platform I use to kind of get things going. But man, you know, don't ever discount what you have.
Yeah, for sure. I agree completely. Right. And never take for granted the small relationships. Right. I think that you hear it a lot, right? When you should treat everyone the same. You should never treat certain people differently. And, you know, that's something I've seen a lot. I've been inspired by other athletes. You know, Rich was one of the guys that, like, I noticed how he interacted with fans, which was something for me. Like, it was something I didn't think about or never thought like I'd even have fans, to be honest. So when I watched Rich, because he was obviously in the game a little bit before me as a competitor, I watched the way he interacted with people and how he always like remembered names and asked about them and not just sat back and took questions. He asked questions back. And so it was something really that I was like, that's really cool. I can respect that and appreciate that. And you can only, you know, exactly, just have mentors where you can see and learn and have all those interactions with everyone. So
It's maybe a little off topic, but we have a mutual friend. He's an admiral, and he's an awesome dude, good friend of mine. He's 2-star now, and they were in a meeting, and his aide, as a bunch of people in the room, his aide comes up as this man was approaching, goes, "Oh, that's so and so," and the admiral looked at his aide and said, "You don't think I know everyone who works for me?" Come on.
Yeah.
Man, that's under my command. How awesome is that?
That's awesome. That's what you call great leadership.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was like, floored. I'm like, woo. Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, go into tell me about, I don't know very much about your mental toughness. Your like what you're doing with it. So I don't know a lot. So let me hear about it.
Yeah. So basically, you know, over the years, I've been coaching, mentoring, inspiring people, all types of people. But obviously, my immediate genre are young men that want to go do special things. Most of them want to either be Navy SEALs or Special Forces or whatever. And over the last decade or so, I find myself, maybe because I talk too much, always giving advice. Right? Like always giving advice, always giving coaching, always giving guidance and stuff. And it's been boiled down, like over the years I've come up with, or my team has kind of come up with 12 mental toughness skills, right? Okay. I find myself saying over and over and over and over again, right? Micro goals, focus, presence, intentionality, stoicism, discipline, meditation, breath work, all those things that you know about, all those things that I know about. And I've always been looking for a platform the last couple of years to kind of figure out how can I get that information to more people that I'm talking to one-on-one.
Yeah.
What's a platform I can share with the world that is not one-on-one? How can I get that out? Obviously, the best platform that is an online platform, right? So Trident Mindset is basically an online mental toughness training program.
Say it again. Say it a little slower because I couldn't even tell you. You talk fast, Chris. You know, you get fired up and I love it. I love your fired upness. But give me that a little slower so people can hear it.
Yeah, I just get so passionate about what I'm doing right now. So Trident Mindset is an online mental toughness training program.
Trident Mindset. Okay, got it. Trident, like a SEAL trident, T-R-I-D-E-N-T.
Yeah, it's under my brand. We got Trident Athletics, same kind of idea, right? I believe that mental toughness is the ability to be calm, happy, effective in any situation, no matter how adverse it is. And exactly. The skills that we're teaching allow you to bring some things to bear when you find yourself in arduous situations, right? Our learning platform is a little bit different where I'd say, like, if you're reading a book, everybody wants to pick up the book, start the book, and finish the book. But they never really think about the words that they're reading, how they can apply those things in their lives, right? One of my mentors has me reading the same book for the last 8 months. I'm still on pages 1 through 10.
Why? Are you the guy who, like, I'm the same way. And I think it might be, the type of men that we are, right? When I'm reading, I'm thinking about everything else that's not in this book.
Not in the book, exactly. Yeah. Trying to get to the end, trying to rush through it, trying to, like, I want to tell my friends that I finished this book and share the book with them, yet I'm not practicing or executing anything that I've read.
Right.
So why move forward with ideas and skills and tactics until you get a chance to implement those into your lives?
For sure.
So we're taking that same approach where we teach you one skill a month and give you lessons about that tactic, exercise to practice that tactics, and a self-assessment to gauge your process or your progress.
Oh man, that's a genius idea, right?
Dude, it's
exactly. It's so simple. You're breaking it down. You're not only making them say, giving them like that, oh, that one line or whatever, you know, like a little phrase or a little saying that people think that's going to make them be. I don't even like the word mental toughness.
Hard one.
Exactly, because it's mental toughness can go so many different ways, and I think we're all mentally tough in our own ways.
Yeah.
I like to call it mentally prepared, right?
Yeah.
Mentally prepared for whatever it is that life is going to throw at us, because we all live very different lives. We all have very not everything's different, but we're doing different things, and so. People have always been like, Josh, you're so, mentally tough. And I'm like, man, I'm not mentally tough. I've been mentally prepared for whatever the things that I went into in my life, and I was ready for them. And when things got tough and I had terrible, terrible thoughts go through my brain, which we all have, I was able to be like, your mind is trying to play tricks on you. Your mind is trying to weaken you. Your mind is trying to tell you that your body can't handle something physically or whatever. And you know that it can. Right. Yeah. That's been something for me that I've had to always go back to is like, your mind is going to shut down before your brain can, because your mind's going to be like, hey, you can't do this. You should stop. And my body's like, nah, man, we're good. Let's keep rolling. Yeah. You know,
mindset, mental flexibility, resilience, durability, all those things. Right.
Yeah.
So how do you take what you do naturally now with your years of experience, we'll say in fitness, how do you teach somebody or tell somebody how to quiet that chatter in your mind that says, I'm too tired to move forward. This weight is too heavy. I can't move any faster. I don't want to continue. If you got to find a way to get that information out of ourselves, because we lived it, eat it, breathe it, all the stuff. But how can I teach a 16-year-old girl? How can I teach a 78-year-old man? How can I teach other people a skill or a tactic which they can use in their quiver when that comes about? At least give them something to work with. If you never trained anything, you're never going to get any better at it.
So you can tell them all the secrets you want, right? I mean, they're really not secrets. It's not like they're hidden under a rock and you have to move the rock and here's a secret, right? They're out there. Everyone, to be honest, has probably heard for the most part a lot of what we've said. Right? Like we're not saying anything new. Guys like you and me and the other people out there that are you know, trying to push on great information. All these things have been said millions of times and we're not inventing them. Exactly. But then you have to showing people how to implement them, right? How to test them for themselves is a phenomenal tool to give to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, give me an example. I have my own examples of things that I've tried. Let me hear an example that you guys are using.
This is what I see like all just happened to me today. I was just driving back to make this call. I'm just driving back and I'm sitting there and I'm at a light. Wrong, I will say. I'm at a light because I'm on my phone and I'm kind of texting. And the guy behind me just, as soon as the light, like I didn't see it turn green because I wasn't really paying attention. As soon as it turned green, he's on his horn. And I'm like, good. Wow. You know, if I was of weaker mind state, I could choose to let that agitate me and ruin my day.
I can easily.
Right?
Easily.
People do, right? Yeah. I choose not to, since I'm in control of my mind, since I'm being more stoic, since I'm more disciplined. I'm like, wow, I'm gonna let that roll off the duck's back. I'm not gonna let that guy ruin my day, my happiness, my state of calm.
Yeah.
Then I drive on by. He can still remain upset. I don't give a F.
Hey, you can say fuck. This is a podcast, man. You can say fuck. We're not on PB, we're not on ABC or NBC. We're good.
Yeah. So I mean, but so many people let other things, adverse situations, other people dictate how they react or what their mental state is by their actions.
Right.
I think mental toughness, mental durability, resilience, focus, all that stuff comes from you being in control of your own state, your ready state, right? Your mindset. And if you can understand, you can just shift that paradigm. Like I'm going to choose to not let that bother me. I'm going to take the higher road. I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to calm down and regain composure so that I become the bigger person. And that's what I feel like mindset is. And it happens every single day. You see people so stressed out, so agitated on the smallest things. And I'm like, bro, it's okay. I mean, just chill.
Guy honked his horn, you know? let him be pissed. Let him deal with that, you know? I agree completely. That kind of stuff. As I've got, like when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, I've been like, exactly, fuck this guy. And I'm gonna go nice and slow. And like, you know, like, and then give him a good, when he tries to go around me, give him a nice good look and be like, hey, what's up, man? You know, like, you know, I would have done that too. I agree with you. I love that little example because that happens to us all daily. I mean, how many times, right? Exactly. Our minds need a distraction. When we stop at a stop sign, we're all so busy nowadays that we pick up our phone immediately, whether we're looking at social media, sending a text, you know, whatever it is, and our head goes down and the light turns green and the guy behind us is in a rush wherever he's going, or guy or gal, and he hits that. And there's a couple ways to do it, I think. You know, like if you do a little, you know, just a little, like, hey, man, you know, that's like a nice horn. If you lay on the horn, you're just not a good dude, right? You're like, this guy's stressed out. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but we preach a thing. You've heard it before, man, and we'll say it's called intentionality. Here, I challenge these listeners to do this. We're at dinner, okay? We're focused on a good, engaging conversation. One of our cell phones rings or texts or something. Then we pick that up. One person picks that up, right? And they start answering or talking, whatever it is. I challenge you, the other person, not to look at their phone.
I think that's
just don't look at your phone. Just be there. Stay intentional. Stay engaged in the conversation. Stay with the person you were with. Be focused on that person. And just be calm and wait.
Right.
It's going to take 7 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, whatever it is. But why do you feel like you have to fill that space with something that you're Why are you trying to run away from the situation? Just stay engaged, stay intentional, stay focused on the situation that you are. Give that person the right, make them feel bad for being distracted of not talking to you and thinking that phone call, that text or whatever is way more important than the relationship or the conversation that you're having at that very moment. I challenge them just to say, you know what? I'm not going to look at my phone when someone else is on the phone with me. I'm just going to be here and just wait, look at you and say, I'm here. I'm intentional. I'm focused.
I love it. I really do. I think that is a great example exactly of how our brains work. We need a distraction immediately, right? Like we can't even sit with ourselves for 30 seconds without having a thought. I actually have my buddy, Nick Norris. I don't know if you know Nick. Nick was a SEAL.
Yeah, doesn't that sound familiar at all?
Yeah, so he was an officer. He was an academy guy. He was through my time frame. So probably a little younger than you. Mm-hmm. We talked about that, right? He's been helping a lot out with. It was on my last episode, or actually the episode drops on Monday. But we talk a lot about how our brains are work, right, and how we just have to distract ourselves. And exactly what you're saying, right? The moment someone looks down at their phone, and other person pulls up their phone. And if you go out to dinner, which right now, you know, we're not able to as much. Yeah. so it's not as easily in our face anymore. But I remember before the pandemic hit, I would go to dinner, and I have a pretty, you know, like I try very, very hard not to have my phone out, even like when I go to dinner. And I never have my phone on ring. So a text message, phone call, nothing comes. Like, I don't know that it does until I give myself time to look at it and be like, oh, someone texted me or someone called me. I have to call them back. So if someone calls me, there's about a 99% chance I'm not going to answer it because I don't have my phone on ring. So I don't know that it's happening unless I happen to be like already on my phone. So, but I love that example. Exactly. Like you go to dinner and take it one step further. Don't even bring your phone into the restaurant.
Right? Man, what are you talking about?
I'm not on any special call. Like, I'm not waiting, you know, the president to call me for any sort of missions or anything like that. Yeah. I know there's nothing going on to where, like, I can go an hour without having my phone. And to be honest, the best parts of my day, Chris, are the times when I can't pick up my phone. Those are my favorite parts of my day when I can't even be around it. It's the best. Yeah. Like when I'm working out, I can't be over by my phone. I have no need for it. I'm literally doing something else. When I'm, you know, on my mountain bike, doing a mountain bike, like I can't be by my phone. And exactly. It's like those moments are my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite moment is, and I love CrossFitters. I've been CrossFitting for a long time, not at your level, of course, but you know, I throw a weight around at least 65.
You can move some weight, bro.
I don't know about all that yet. But all the time, I love seeing this because it defines an athlete, period. It defines an athlete. How the athlete reacts at the end of the workout or when the time clock expires or whatever. You guys are out there throwing it down. You got 10 guys on the line. Everybody's having fun in the workout. Everybody's going to get done. You'll see some people that finish the workout and will flop on their backs. They'll let everybody on the planet know how tired they are and how much they worked they did. And look at me. I'm awesome because I'm exhausted on the floor, sweating like a banshee. Then you have the athletes of solid mind and tough mentally who take a breath, stay in the moment, understand, yep, I'm tired, my heart's beating, my lungs are engaged, man, my mind is, I feel so excited, whatever. They walk over, they help their buddies off the floor or whatever. To me, the latter is the athlete. The latter is the guy that goes, yeah, man, I understand, I am tired, but I don't need to show the whole world how tired I am. Let me be more stoic, let me be more humble, let me be part of myself, engage in my suffering, embrace that, embrace what my mind is telling me. I'm just gonna walk around and take a couple of breaths. Regain my composure, re-engage my parasympathetic nervous system. I'll be all right. I remember this feeling. You know, you set yourself up for further successes being in that state than the other state of constant. I need validation right now. Let everybody know how hard I worked.
Right. Yeah. You could even go again. I love that. I think that's great. I think you're right. I think you're spot on, right? Like when people, I mean, there are moments where you're just exhausted, right? You want to collapse. Exactly. It is what it is. And we've all been there. I've been there. I've fallen on the floor and collapsed.
Yeah.
But exactly. I think you're right. I think that, you know, if you can stay composed in those moments, that's what makes the great athletes. It's even
great athletes.
It even makes it even more prevalent when you're in the workout, right? When you're right in the middle and it's the faces, the ugly faces you're making, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What I like to call them is I feel sorry for my face. I feel sorry for myself face, you know? And so I coach my boys in wrestling. And when we go to the conditioning piece at the end, these boys put out. Like they are working.
Yeah.
And you know, when the moment, and it's typically the older kid, that's not really the younger kid. It's always the middle school kids who have that, I feel sorry for my face. They start throwing their head back and making these big dramatic scenes. Like I'm working so much harder than everyone else. And it's like, so I like to yell at them and tell them, you're not doing anything anyone else in this room is not doing right now. So why are you feeling sorry for yourself?
Yeah.
No one cares that you're tired. You know? I get on them. But
I say, I think it's like we just need that validation for somebody to like be our witness, right? Be our witness for what we're exhibiting instead of being our self-witness. Have that third eye about, man, this is what my body's going through right now. I understand I'm tired, but just be aware of what it is. You know, sometimes you're exhausted, like completely exhausted, and you collapse. Hey, that's good. That's fine. Whatever. But don't make it a habit to where other people who are looking up to you, regardless whether or not you know they're looking up to you, be the mentor. Yeah. Be the person. It's, man, look at that. He finished that workout. He crushed it. Whatever the time, regardless of the finish, look at him. He's freaking standing up, walking around, helping other people. That's why. That's the athlete I'm looking for. Right? You're showing people you're just a bigger person, or just like you're capable of not being so selfish, but sometimes selfish or selfless, right? To kind of spread that around. It's like, man, you've been in gyms, man. You see those guys doing that. You're like, oh, that's my boy right there. I love it. You know? So I don't know. I got some things.
I love it. I think these are all great. They're like, exactly. They're not anything huge, right? You're not saying anything that most people haven't heard before, right? There's no need to make these big dramatic scenes and make these big dramatic faces because they're not helping you. They're not like when you go into that mode where you like, exactly, you need validation or you're feeling sorry for yourself, you're not doing yourself any favors. That's what I've always said, right? No, like,
technically, because those emotions that you're exhibiting are telling yourself that you need to slow down. You're tired. You're all this stuff. Instead, if you just put a frown, you'd shift your paradigm in your mind that said, wow, I'm enjoying this suffering. I'm grateful for what's happening right now. You put that smile, you have way more energy than you think you would. We go in situations where it's like, this is going to be really hard. Well, fuck yeah, it's going to be hard because you already think it's going to be hard. You know what's even going to happen yet? You know, change your positivity, man. Say, dude, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, hard, you're like, that was hard, but it was still awesome. You know, it's the mindset you have going into an event that's going to carry you out of that event more solidly. It even transfers to what we're going through right now, this pandemic with COVID. You have some people that are so afraid and so worried and so in the right now, they can't see the exit of how their life is going to be post-pandemic, post-COVID, or even with COVID in the future.
Yeah.
You know? Instead of going like, I'm going to try to maximize my time and do the right things. I'm going to shift my paradigm. I'm going to control my mind. I'm going to have some good visualization out there. And I'm just going to be a better person coming out of that.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, you know, right now is a perfect time for everyone to use what I feel like we as SEALs especially did an amazing job was, which was adapt and overcome. Right.
Absolutely.
We were always told to plan your dive your plan. And when everything goes to shit, get the job done. And that translate into adapt and overcome.
Yeah.
And I think exactly like everyone is going through this. Not everyone is going through it exactly the same. I do not think that. I don't think that we're all in the exact same boat. We're not. Some of us have better situations than others. But you all have your thing, right? And we all have to deal with it. And we all have to now adapt to our situations, whatever they are, and overcome it and come out on the better side of this. Now you can, now every, all that time that you said you didn't have, you have all that time now. right? A lot of people don't have jobs. Okay, you didn't have time to work out. You didn't have time to eat right because you couldn't cook. You didn't have time to spend with your kids. Well, now you do. So what are you going to do with it, right? Yeah. Are you going to go down the wrong path and neglect this time and not use it like you always said that you wanted to? Or are you going to change your habits and spend that time with your kids or give yourself that time in the gym or give yourself that time to cook better for yourself, you know, whatever. And I always like fitness, nutrition, all that kind of stuff.
Pillars. Is what
I like. Yeah, right. They're the things that I like to talk about. But I mean, exactly. You can do it in every aspect of your life. Your relationships with your significant others, your, you know, relationships with whatever, your business. Figure out a new business, right? Maybe if you lost your job, what have you always wanted to do anyways? Figure it out. Exactly. Find a way to, you know, like find a better job, find something else that you that right
now. You know who you are. You know, or what it is that you what is that you want and why.
Right.
It doesn't take, you add a little bit of meditation there, add a bit of thoughtfulness, some awareness, and go, man, you know what? I have a brand new opportunity here.
Yeah.
The landscape of work is changing. I'm finding myself at home with my kids more. Should I enjoy that time? How many parents have you seen that's been kind of griping because their kids are home more?
Right.
Exactly. I'm like, you made those suckers.
I bet you enjoyed that, didn't you?
Yeah, right.
No, man, I agree. You know, I mean, exactly. Like, this has been, like, it was the reason I got out of the military actually was because of my kids, right? I wanted to spend, at the time I had two young boys. And for me to, when it was time for me to reenlist, it was either go back into the military or you have this other opportunity, right? That was a little scarier. It was a little bit more dramatic. I had to take a chance, basically a risk where I put all this time and effort into being a Navy SEAL, becoming a Navy SEAL, you know, getting there. And, doing that job, and now it's like I'm gonna throw it away, not throw it away, but I'm gonna step away from it, right? And I'm gonna do this because I want to spend more time with my kids, because I realized they're only going to be this age once, right? Yeah. It's never going to come back. And so for me, that was like awesome, and I got to coach my kids. I get to coach my kids sports. I get to bring them to school and pick them up from school. I get to spend most of the days with them right now, like when they're not, they've had the longest summer ever in history of summers. I've enjoyed it. It's like, it's never been
kids, man. You get to be that man that steps and say, hey, you know what? I was doing this and now I'm going to do this and it's okay. It's a scary jump. There's a big dark chasm there, but I'm going to take the leap because I'm afraid to fail.
Yeah, exactly. You can't be, man. Yeah. Like that right there, that statement you just said is pure gold. And if people can literally like not only believe it but then use it in their lives, like being afraid to fail, like they have no idea where they're capable of going, right? I tell my kids that all the time, you know. That's literally, I try to, you know, beat it into their heads. It's like, boys, you can never be afraid to fail, because if you are not going out and failing at certain things, that means you're not pushing yourself. Yeah. You're not trying to become better. If everything is easy, it is not worth it, right? You're not growing as a person. You are staying stagnant. You are not getting any better. Like, it's okay to fail. That is not the end. Failing isn't final. I mean, the old saying, right? Failing isn't final, and succeeding isn't forever, or whatever the hell it is. I butchered that, but you know what I mean. Come on.
The intent is there. I just posted a quote. I don't post often, but I just posted a quote that said, and I'm probably going to botch this one too. It's a Chinese proverb. The master has failed more than the beginner has tried.
I love it.
Master has failed more than the beginner has tried. Right. Like, whoa. You know?
I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
You can't fail if you don't try. And that's what a lot of people's problems are, right? They don't want to go out. They don't want to see what they're capable of because they don't want to fail and think of themselves as a failure. Where, like, even when I've done my best, even when I've done the best things that in my life, where I thought, where most people would look at him from the outside and say, that was a success. Like, this guy is killing it. He's doing awesome. I look at it, there's most of the time I'm looking at it in the negative way. Right. I'm thinking about it like, wow, how could I have done better? How could I have performed better in a scenario? Or even as a father, as an athlete, as a SEAL, as everything, it's always been, you know, self-critical, right? I don't get me wrong. I understand that, you know, I've done some things successfully in my life, but I still always am growing as a person, as an athlete. And
you should all take time and be grateful for our victories, the things that we're successful in, and take time and be as grateful for the things that we failed in. You know, before I was joined the SEAL teams, I was doing triathlon, and I was a decent athlete. I was a good athlete, doing well, maybe winning a few races and stuff, whatever. But somewhere deep inside, the man in the mirror, I knew I was not giving 100%. I knew I was not giving 100%. So I had to go outside, look for a different avenue just to figure out what my 100% is.
So did you think that, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, did you think that it was because the passion wasn't there for the sport? Did you need to find another sport, or what do you think was causing that?
I think what the cause was, I know what the cause was, is that my effort was good enough. My effort was good enough to support my placings in the rankings or whatever. My effort was good enough that I don't need to work any harder because I'm faster than this guy. I don't need to work any harder because I'm already kind of at the top of whatever I was doing. Instead of, man, you know what? It isn't about where I place in the race. It's how I perceive my effort during the race. Did I give my 100% or did I not? Dude, I preach all the time, you should give your 100%. Understand, not every single thing you can do that because you'd just be exhausted forever. But as long as you understand what effort you're putting forth into something that you're doing, passionate about, whatever kind of effort that is, man, be okay with that effort. If you're not satisfied with the effort, you need to relook at yourself in the mirror. You know, man, I placed last in that race. Dude, I gave it everything. I am happy with last. I finished. Man, I placed first in that place. Yeah, but I was faster than all the other competition. I only had to run half speed. And you could have done better if you just ran full speed, you know? So a paradigm shift, it's like, man, it's just not always about how you finish. It is sometimes how you play that game and what you're looking for as an individual. You know, when you can't lie to the man in the mirror, when you look at yourself in the mirror, when you're brushing your teeth and ask yourself, why the fuck am I here on this planet? Or what the hell am I doing? Have an honest answer, because the man in the mirror knows if you're lying or not. You know, you may be fooling everybody else, all your friends, your family, but you know the truth. And I would rather live a full truth than be validated by my peers because of what they assumed is my best. So I don't know. I struggle.
Man, that's phenomenal. I love it. I couldn't agree with you anymore. Right. Like if you're just trying to beat the guy who's right behind you.
Yeah.
That's obviously not your 100%. And that's what I love. You know, this is a kind of a, you know, a little bit off top, not really off topic, but like, that's what I love about CrossFit.
Right.
It's like, if you're doing it correctly, you're not focused on anyone else, right? You're focused on your own lane and how fast you're going, whether people are in front of you or behind you, it does not matter. As long as you're giving your 100% and you're riding that red line, right? Like how I always like to equate it in CrossFit was like, you're riding that red line in your car, right? Like I want to be right below overheating.
Yeah.
You know, I'm blowing my engine. I want to hold it right there because that is my 100%. Because if I go too far, if you go over, right, then you're going to blow out and you're going to die. And that was more that you're giving 120%, which you can't, is not sustainable.
Absolutely.
Right. And so if you're not right there, right, then you're not giving your 100%.
Yeah.
And so
that's where the growth happens too, is at that threshold. Like, doesn't matter what you're doing, you get to that threshold, you're only going to perform better the next time because you've gotten to that threshold.
Yeah. And you know what it
feels like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's such a great thing to like think about, to tell people, right?
Yeah.
I tell people that, people always ask me like, what do you like better, training with people or training alone? I'm like, I love both. And because my favorite thing about training alone is just that, right? Like I have a clock that I'm going up against and that's it. It's the only, and myself and my thoughts. I'm going up against the clock in my thoughts or a weight in my thoughts. You know, if you can perform there, having someone racing you is going to be, or having a crowd is going to be 1,000 times easier.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have external motivators at that moment, where when you're by yourself in a garage at, you know, and it's 50 degrees out or 110 degrees out and you're covered in sunscreen and, you know, off because mosquitoes are everywhere. And, you know, like you don't care, but you're like, I got to push myself harder. And you're falling over collapsing at that moment because no one's watching. So you can do it then, right?
Exactly.
You're not being dramatic because at that point you are just exhausted.
Yeah.
And no one is, you're not doing it to be showy.
Yeah.
So no, I love that, man. I think that's a phenomenal, you know, it's cool that you were able to acknowledge that because most people wouldn't, right? Most people would be like, I'm out there and I'm crushing it. I'm crushing. Right. I'm winning races. I don't even have to go 100%.
Right.
You know, but you were like, no, I want to be better. I want to be better. Right. So that's cool, man. That's awesome.
It's a good struggle, man. You find yourself in situations, at least I'm sure you do too. Find yourself in situations where you want some external motivators to be better. You know, like I said, you train alone. It's challenging, man. It's hard to do things by yourself. I love team stuff for that very reason. I like being on teams that are far better than me. I'm the weakest link. So I'm like, the most growth potential out of, right? Me and Tosh do a lot of adventure races and stuff, and he is a monster. And I'm just like, just keep up, baby. Just keep up. You know?
Right.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Like,
okay, that part's over. Next, go to the next thing. He's crushing it, and you're just right there, you know. So I love that feeling of sometimes that external pressure does create diamonds as well. So
it does, man. It's huge. It is exactly. There are great to both, right? There is great. Like if you can find a way to push by yourself, you're going to be better for it because it's going to be just that much easier when you have an external motivator like someone who's better than you in a situation when you have to perform. Right now, I'm like, I can't let this guy down. I can't let this person down.
You know what I
mean? So that's great. Now it's great tools for people who are exactly struggling where, you know, go challenge yourself, go do something by yourself and see where your mind goes, see where your thoughts go. That's like one of the big things for me is like, where do your thoughts go when you become those? And then how do you react to those thoughts?
Yeah.
Kind of like what we talked about earlier. It's something that I always would say to say to myself. And when people ask me what I say to myself is like, when I start to get into that pain threshold where it's like, this hurts really, really bad. My body's telling me I should stop, and my mind is definitely telling me I should stop. And so someone told me once that like, it's like push back at that pain, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like don't let it overtake you, push back at it. And that's really the only way I can describe it. And I've loved that saying. And I say it to myself when I'm, you know, an easy place to find it is the Echo bike or the assault bike, right? Like that thing, man. Like you want to talk about feeling pain quickly. You find that and you're like, I'm going to push back it. Like, and then you can like, you're on it, right? And you're like, I got to slow down. I got to go. I'm going to die. I'm literally going to fall off and die. And it's like, no, you're not. Push back at this pain and go harder. Right.
Yeah.
And once those thoughts enter your mind, you feel the change take over your body.
Yeah.
Or even just staying positive, just saying like, I'm not hurting. I'm okay, man. Yeah. Sometimes I won't look at the screen and I'll start having those positive talks with myself, which is rare, you know, 'cause I'm typically negative. I go negative. And the moment I do that, I look down at my screen and I'm going faster than I was.
Yeah. Dude, that is like the essence of trying to mindset. Positivity is one of it's our 11th skill out of 12, but that's what it's about. Sometimes the mantra you say isn't as important as understanding that you're in control of what you're thinking. The voices are shouting, yeah, keep going. No, keep going. You know, what are the voices are shouting? You're managing those things. Are you the voice that's saying slow down or are you the voice that's saying speed up? You should be neither. You should be watching both voices and saying, this is what we're going to do.
Right. And
that's when you've ascended, so to speak, where you're totally engaged with the activity that you're doing and you're still in control. Being aware of the pain in your legs on the Echo bike, being aware of how bad your heart is beating, being aware how hard you're breathing, that's all fucking awesome, right? Understand it, be there. You don't always have to run from it, like you just said, run to it.
Yeah, run at it.
You need to do, yeah, run at it, man.
With uncontrolled aggression.
And crush that thing. That's what makes you happy because look at the story, look how you just shared that story. It was exciting, you can see the patch. These guys can't, but I can see the patch. That's where the growth starts to happen. Because you're in charge of yourself, you're in charge of your mind, you're in charge of your body, and that's what I think that's where we become stress-free. That's where we become happier. Those are the best stories that we share with our friends. You know, it's like, yep, that's what we're really looking for. Why do we keep doing hard things? So we can find those dark cracks. Yep. That's why we do it, right? So that we can practice our skills, we can practice ourselves and become better. Otherwise, life's kind of, you know, just kind of passes on by. Next thing you know, you're in a chair, in a bed, going, what did I do again? With nothing there, you know? So, yeah, man.
I agree. I would much rather be the guy who tried and failed at everything he tried to do than be the guy who never tried because he was scared to fail.
Yeah.
I've always been that. And like that saying, that proverbs that you just, you know, said, it was like, it's so spot on. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing. And exactly. Like people need to understand you're going to fail. You cannot be afraid to do it. That means you're pushing your limits. And guess what? The next time you go do something, you're going to be fine. And maybe you'll fix it. Maybe you'll make adjustments. Maybe you'll adapt and overcome and figure out what you did wrong or what you did right and how you can make it better. And that's everything you can do.
Yeah. I have a friend that I have another company that we teach people to go shooting when we go out to shooting school.
Jaws. Public, right? It's a public place. Amazing.
Civilians out there, and it's an awesome experience, a four day experience. And my friend that I was asking to go, he rogered up. He's like, yeah, man, we're going to go. And I just saw him yesterday. And he said to me, man, I almost backed out of that trip on the last day. Right. And I was like, well, why'd you want to back out? He goes, I didn't want to be the worst shooter there.
Right.
And I was like, dude, you got to change your mindset. Being the worst shooter there, you will gain more knowledge than everybody else that has experience already. Yeah. You know? So he conquered his fear. He adapted and overcame. He went out and had a good time. And we're doing it again in October. He's going out back in October. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
That's cool about that, man. I'm like,
that's it, man. That's it right there.
Right?
Yeah, I love it. You know, exactly. Because how many times it's so easy, right? To like right before you get there is the it's probably the most time people give up is right before they're there. Right before they hit that switch where it's like, boom, that switch is going to flip and they're going to be, it wasn't that bad. Everyone builds this, their things up in their mind and they make them so much worse or so much more dramatic. And I'm not any exception to the rule. I've done the same thing. Like how many times right before a scenario where I was like, dude, like even the grit challenge with Tosh, man, and it was all because it had really nothing to do with like, I knew I was going to go there and I probably wasn't going to be able to go as long as I'd hoped to do, or I was probably going to take last.
Right.
And I'm like, man, I was a Navy SEAL. I've not slept for 5 days. I've done this. And I'm going with people who have never done anything like this. And they're probably going to beat me because I know like where my body is capable of doing right now.
Right.
And I had these small little glimpses where I'm like, I shouldn't go. I shouldn't do this. You know, like you're going to look stupid.
Yeah.
But you know, you just think about it. You're like, fuck it. I'm going to give it a shot. Guess what? Maybe I'll surprise myself. Maybe I'll be awesome. Right.
You know, have a good time. All the stuff that just comes from those experiences. Why not go grab them? A little fear, a little doubt. That's healthy. You know, that's healthy. That's where a solid mind is. It's healthy. You know, you've talked to people all the time. They just don't do things. I'm like, fuck, just one step, take one little step in that direction. You'll be fine.
Right.
It's just,
man, it's like you're right
sometimes for people.
They sign up for the whatever, they sign up for it, or they commit to doing it, and then they get all happy, right? They took that step to do that, and then they start preparing for it or whatever it is, you know, they're preparing for it, and then it comes to like right before, and that all that like anxiety and fear builds up, and it just like takes over their brains, and they lose it, and they're like, and they give up on themselves. It's like, no, you took the steps already. You're there. Like, go do it. And if you fail, you fail. But cool, man. At least you went out and tried.
Exactly. There's this thing I call the college t-shirt where I think it's a limiter for a lot of people because they knew the man or woman who they were, let's say athletically, in college. Oh, in college, I weighed X. In college, I played this sport. In college, I was good at this. They have that college t-shirt on and now they're 10, 15 years later and they're like, oh, I can't do that anymore. But in college, I'm like, you're fucking out of college, man. Right. What's to worry about today? Oh, I'm in college. I'm like, why don't you just run this today? Who cares about the time? Just, oh, I can't do 5K. Well, go do one step. Go do 1K, 3K. Go do 100 meters. Go 20 meters. Doesn't matter. Just start moving in that direction to change your paradigm, to shift your mind into something that you can do instead of more about what you were in the past instead of being where you are now. Just keep moving forward. It doesn't take, to me, it doesn't take that much, but to others it does, right?
So big, right? And that's ego. That's ego stepping in, right? You know, I I'm on the back end of my career in CrossFit and I understand that, right? Mm-hmm. But when I go out in that gym, and I'm doing workouts, I'm doing movements, I see how far or where I was and where I am now. And I have to be okay with it. And I think that's been something for me that I've been, and I'm not trying to like toot my own horn. I'm just trying to say we all struggle, right? Like even athletes that people think are these, you know, whatever, they're above everyone else. We're not, man. We have the same struggles that everyone else has.
Yeah.
When I go out and do workouts,
you see my dog's like, what?
I know, man. She got fired up too.
Yeah.
When I go out there though, when I go out in the garage and I'm doing workouts and I'm like, man, I used to be able to do this weight with this workout and I used to be able to do it this fast. And I have to, and that's something I am actually the most proud of in the past few years, of just being okay with like, hey, I'm not 29 anymore. I'm not 30 anymore. And right. I'm not at that level. And I've also been through, hold on one second.
Yeah.
Hey, boys. Hey, don't do that right now. Okay. Thank you.
I have to be okay with, I'm most proud that I was able to go be okay with like, you know, where I am as where now, right? Like I've had a knee surgery and elbow surgery. I'm 37 years old and like, I don't think I'm old, but I know I'm not in my, in my CrossFit prime anymore. So
right.
But I'm able to get past it and just exactly like still go out to the gym and push myself as hard as I am, as hard as I can now. And so, it's huge. And like people have to just get past that ego of, wow, well, this is where I used to be. Why am I not there anymore? Well, you're not that person anymore. Right? You're
not that person anymore, man. If you're still that person, we got problems.
Right.
Grown or eclipsed or evolved just a little bit since that time. And why can't tomorrow be your heyday?
Exactly.
Why can't you put something in your victory file for tomorrow? Wow. You know what? 20 years after college, look what I just accomplished and be super excited about that.
Exactly.
Be okay with who you are. Stop trying to run away and have
little victories, man.
Little victories, man. Micro goals. It's little victories, you know. So
small goals equal big goals, baby.
Oh, no, hey, look, aim small, miss small. Just saying.
That's right. Oh, man, I love it, dude. I love it. Chris, it's been awesome. What else? So what else? What else could we we're almost at an hour here, so we'll give me some
places. Go ahead.
I was just saying, give me some more places where people can find you. Chris, people need to know who you are.
Who I am.
Exactly. And hear you and hear like your thoughts exactly like all you're spreading is amazing stuff.
What we're trying to do, man, like I said, trying to make an impact. And right now I'm trying to walk the walk that I talk. So I've set myself up for some incredible crucibles. My next crucible is going to be the Arrowhead 135, which is a fucking cold human sled pull. Failed that race. My first, maybe not my first DNF, but my first. Yeah, my DNF, bro. Straight up, didn't finish, quit.
But guess what? What are you doing?
Going back. Yeah, going
to get some.
3 years haunting. Going back to do that race again. Me, Tosh, and a couple other team guys are gonna row a rowboat across the Atlantic Ocean in 2022, 3,000 miles in the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge. Actually, I'm doing.
Tell me that. From where to where?
Yeah, it's from Africa to France. Finish in Antigua, starting in Africa there somewhere. I try to get too much into my head. I'm like, my job is to row, bro.
Don't even think, man.
Dude, I'm 5'8" I'm 54 years old. I weigh 175 pounds. Man, I ain't the fastest dude on an erg, right? So my other teammates you know, man, the team has to have a shared goal, a common interest or whatever. So for this team, we want to set a world record in that event.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Right.
What is the record?
29 days, 16 hours. So we're shooting for more than that. Right. Talking about big, audacious, scary, hairy goals. Dude,
I love it.
I'm shaking in my boots just thinking about the amount of effort it's going to take. Just thinking about how many things have to be aligned to make that happen. So
everything's got to go perfect. I mean, it sounds like everything's got to go perfect. Like,
it doesn't mean I shouldn't train that way, right? I shouldn't just go after it. Regardless of the end state, I should prepare myself mentally and physically to produce that goal. Yes, I'm doing a lot more races. You can catch me at info@tridentmindset.com or csmith@tridentmindset.com. That's my catch-all right now. Catch me, Alexander, at Trident Athletics, Trident CrossFit, formerly Trident CrossFit, now it's Trident Athletics. Yeah, man.
I love it, dude. I love it. I mean, yeah, go check Chris out. Chris is, like I said, he's the man, dude. And like, and obviously just listening to his podcast, I hope people get fired up and they go out and they try to go do crazy shit, because that's what it's all about.
Go be a failure.
Exactly. Go try to do, go, like I said, try to do crazy shit. You don't have to succeed. Just try, because try. Guess what?
You know,
sometimes you surprise yourself, right?
Yeah.
You never know.
You have one shameless plug. So, I just finished the Echo Challenge Fiji last September that is now airing on Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay.
Check this out, bro. I race with the first ever all-black adventure racing team.
Really?
2020, man.
That's nuts.
We're a featured team in the race. It's a good story. It's 10 one-hour series on Amazon Prime. It's called the World's Toughest Race.
That's the series called the World's Toughest Race?
A World's Toughest Race featured on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
Good watch. Great storytelling. They did an amazing job. Not really tooting my horn, but the goal of that team was to bring awareness to a sport that not many people get to see, right?
Very cool. Super. I'm going to go check it out. So I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
I'll be watching that. I know what I'm watching this weekend.
Sure. Yeah. Awesome, dude.
Well, yeah, man.
Coming, man.
No, man, I'm so glad we set this up and we had this conversation.
Yeah.
So many great nuggets, so many great pieces of information you just put out there, and I just thought, I'm fired up. I'm gonna go work out now, because
I know, right?
You know, like, now I'm just stoked. I love it.
Yeah. So
again, man, I really appreciate you. Everything that you're doing for people is awesome.
Yeah.
Go out there, people, go check them out. We'll put everything in the description too, so you can find it if you didn't have time to write that down. Because I know Chris is a fast talker.
I do talk fast. It's only because I'm passionate, man.
You are.
I like to live every moment like, get it done, Bubba. Get it done.
Yeah, I love it, man.
Awesome.
Well, awesome, Chris. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on, man. And we'll have to do it again, because I know you have way more stuff to talk about. This was too easy. We could have probably talked for 3 hours.
It's funny, because when I was talking to one of my business partners in Trident Mindset, his name is Chris as well. And I was like, I really just want to interview Josh.
Dude, you should do a podcast, man. And I'll come on.
Similar thing, just like a conversation with people that we care about, you know, that we respect. And it's just like this. It's just a chat, man. It's like, people that can help others, you know? Like,
when Coop said, let's do a podcast, at first I was like, everyone, I was a little fearful. I was like, what if I sound, what if people think I'm stupid? What if I say dumb stuff, which I will, I guarantee I will. And I'll say things that people won't like. But I was like, I get to have cool conversations with people and just like enjoy, this is amazing. And again, it's just connecting with people. And so I think it's awesome, man. And I love it. So you should do it. I think that you would be a phenomenal host.
That'd be crazy. I got to F-bomb, beep, and beep.
It's podcast. You can do it. You just gotta put the explicit sign on.
Yeah, there, right. You know? Not for children. Yeah.
Not for kids.
Yeah, man. So great talk, man. Appreciate you.
Great talk. I appreciate it, Chris. And you're the man. So we'll have you on again soon. I know that.